This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Roy Edwards, and today I'm talking to Mark Hook, Global Director of PR and Communications at Brightpearl. Brightpearl has a mission to support and enable intelligent retail. We will discuss the company's recently launched report, "'Tis the Season to be Scalable." It's a really fascinating read that explores the emergence of new trends in retail, particularly the fact that shoppers are beginning to change the way in which they discover and purchase items. The report notes increasing popularity of online spending in non-traditional channels such as TikTok and WhatsApp, and its likely impact on the forthcoming Black Friday and Christmas seasons. Brightpearl expects this to become the new normal for commerce. Mark, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me. A little bit about me first. I've been working in e-commerce and tech for a number of years now. My background is coming up in through PR agencies, then moving into more of a wider sort of brand marketing remit. That's what I do for Brightpearl. Brightpearl itself is a retail operating system. And people say, what's a retail operating system when it's at home? It's a system that allows retailers to grow fearlessly. By that, we mean the ability to scale, to innovate, and to have the agility to grow on their own terms and at their own pace. We do pretty much everything after the buy button, from inventory management through to fulfillment, through to warehouse management, demand planning, and more. So essentially, it's all of the operations that you have after your buy button. We look to remove that complexity so you can get back to growth. That's what we do.
The Era of Hyperscalable report, again, as I mentioned, is a really interesting read. What's your thoughts on it? What are the new key commerce channels for the holiday season, for example?
We've coined this term, the hyperscalable era. As we did this research, what we really wanted to find out was how consumer shopping habits are changing and what that means for retailers, including their technology stack. When you go that route and you start looking at the future-proofness of retailers' technology stacks, what we wanted to really look at was, are tech stacks fit for purpose going into the holiday season, which is only a couple of months away and is often the most important season for merchants? So we looked and we produced this report, which is called "'Tis the Season, the Era of Hyperscalability." It looked at the increasing amount of diverse new alternative selling channels that consumers of all ages want to use to buy the majority of their items this Christmas and this Black Friday. So what we found was that shoppers want to use a range of new services, whether that's Pinterest, Livestream, voice commerce, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, WhatsApp, and they're increasingly expecting to be able to use them this holiday season, which is wild in a way, because it's one of the first time that non-traditional channels are going to be as popular as traditional channels. So talking about website, talking about physical stores, and will continue to be really successful as we grow into long term. What we found is over half of US consumers and UK consumers are planning to shop across these non-traditional channels this holiday season. The figures are much higher for Gen Z. 70% of UK consumers within that age group and 78% of US consumers 18 to 24 plan to shop via these channels in the holiday season, which is really interesting. That gave us some really useful data. It told us this is how consumers want to shop. We then looked at whether retailers are actually set up to be able to support this. And the answer was no. Absolutely not. In a way that essentially they either don't have the technology in place right now, they don't have the systems that allow them to integrate, swap out, and adopt these new selling channels, or they just simply weren't interested. And there was a real low adoption of these selling channels, which, to be honest, really surprised us.
That really surprised me as well, because from your research suggests that already 28% of shoppers are already using these methods for online shopping in the last year. So I'm really surprised that there's such a disconnect between customer expectation and the actual online retailers, online merchants themselves.
It is really interesting. There's a Gartner quote that sticks with me, and it's those who adopt a scalable, let's call it hyperscalable, approach to commerce by 2023 are going to outpace their competition massively in terms of the adoption of new services. if you're able to go to market with new channels and new services, ones we already know are popular, then you're probably going to win. It's really interesting to us, very surprising that firstly, that there does seem to be a lack of interest in these channels and that not more retailers are looking to move players to adopt them.
What are those new key commerce channels, particularly that's going to be relevant for the forthcoming holiday season?
It does change a little bit by age group, but overall, the alternative channels that we saw were going to be really popular for this holiday season will be live stream, Pinterest, voice commerce, and then Instagram and Facebook, as you might expect. There are other emerging channels like TikTok and WhatsApp. There are pilot schemes in terms of some retailers have been able to use them as selling channels, but at the moment they're more discovery mechanisms. But the research showed us that consumers really want to shop via those apps.
Do you have any examples of brands or retailers who are actually utilizing these alternative channels?
Nordstrom are actively using Pinterest at the moment as a discovery mechanism, but also a selling channel too. And then a couple of months ago, KitKat actually took advantage of the new live shopping function, so live stream, to host what it was called Live from the KitKat Chocolate Factory, a live event which was hosted by head chocolatier. They use that as a way to showcase recipes, special guests, and their limited time offers, and then people could make direct purchases after the show.
Okay, what platform was the KitKat show?
It was actually done via Facebook's live stream platform. So just a couple of examples there. Shopify themselves are setting up live stream functionality. Brands will be able to do their own live stream events via Shopify, and then consumers will be able to buy directly via the platform.
What's stopping these companies, these retailers, from adding channels quickly in order to kind of get ahead of the game for this holiday season in particular?
Honestly, I think it's the systems that they're using at the moment. As we know, the aging legacy ERP style systems, the all-in-one systems that a lot of retailers, both legacy physical retailers, but also e-commerce retailers. E-commerce is a maturing market in itself. A lot of these merchants are using ERP systems. They're great systems, but they do prevent you from quickly upgrading and evolving your tech stacks. They're not built for agile development. With that in mind, it is difficult to go to market with new services. To do so can be a little bit time prohibitive, also extremely costly. If you're looking to, let's say, add TikTok to your selling channels for this holiday season, it's often very unlikely, just in terms of time frame and development, that you'll be able to do that in weeks. You're probably looking at months or years, and that's going to put you right behind the eight ball if your competitors are using more agile technology that allows them to quickly add and rotate new services and new selling channels.
In effect, these companies themselves need to become more agile. They need to change their own internal working processes in order to be able to embrace these emerging platforms and emerging channels.
Absolutely. I think there is an increasing need for agility across your operational processes, from the operational process all the way through end to end, really. And that's becoming, from the research, massively clear that you can't rely on one size fits all cookie cutter type systems. You need to have more of a composable model that inherently allows more agility within your entire tech stack.
What this hyperscalable era that the report refers to, 'tis the season, why should brands care about it? Why do they need to really understand these trends as such?
Base level, because if you don't change and you don't adapt and you're not aware of the wider e-commerce tailwinds, then you'll get left behind. That's it. That's the simple baseline. You'll start to lose out. There's a stat within the report which says that those retailers that haven't adopted new channels could be leaving up to $300 on the table this holiday season. If you think about that, you think about what you could be losing out on, particularly as these channels, let's be honest, the Gen Z and Generation Alpha behind it, they're growing in purchasing power. They will have an expectation to be shopping across these new channels because they want to combine entertainment and they want to combine fun. There's an expectation there. If you can't meet customers where they are, then you will just lose out. We're marking this era now as being a shift from the monolithic structure of e-commerce, which was based around a very simple proposition. You know, maybe you had an Amazon website, maybe a physical store, but we're saying in an era of hyperscalable, which is more defined by the ability to rapidly curate new services and deploy new shopping experiences, you have to be able to meet expectations of customers as and when they change, and they can do very, very quickly. To meet those expectations, you need greater scalability, you need greater flexibility, and that's probably going to mean investment in the processes that allow you to keep pace in that environment. Let's be honest, we are in an entirely new environment. It all comes back to technology. There's an old example about Blockbuster versus Netflix. One of those lost, and they lost because they were behind the game when it came to technology and what consumers were looking for.
But it's also the case of actually identifying what consumers actually want, what those trends are. It's been interesting, the reports identified a number of key trends, and I love the term shoppertainment. The idea that increasingly consumers want to be entertained while they shop. Could you just elaborate a bit more on that particular facet of the report?
The shoppertainment kind of trend is one where basically we as consumers, we as people.
That's true. There's always people behind consumers.
This isn't just about Gen Z for a moment. This is about all of us. And the pandemic really has accelerated a process of digital transformation that was really already happening. Our concept of place really has converged. We work, we shop, we seek entertainment increasingly online, whether that's playing Fortnite or PlayStation games online, shopping online, speaking to family online. The last 18 months have really shifted things for us. Particularly for younger generations that are just digitally native, they socialize online, they seek their entertainment online, and they want to shop online. Like, it becomes very natural. It seems like the research supports this, that we also want the channels that we use to entertain us, that we use to socialize on, to gather our information, those that really are our community now, that we want this channel to also serve us as consumers. And you look at the live stream as just a huge example of how that's working and why I think this moment is very different to previous new dawns for shopping.
It makes perfect sense, because while you are doing the discovery, while you're being entertained, while you're doing your research, it makes sense to actually do the conversion in that device, in that application, in that alternative channel at the same time. I'm just really surprised it's taken so long for somebody to actually realize that and to document it, guys have done in your report.
What is surprising, or not so surprising maybe, is that some of these channels that are coming up, Pinterest, TikTok, I mean, even maybe WhatsApp, maybe retailers are looking at them as being channels for a youth market, or channels that they don't necessarily need to pay much heed to at the moment. The danger is that things will change really fast. If 10 years ago, there were still question marks around whether retail businesses, maybe more than 10 years ago, but whether there were question marks and debates around whether you needed a website for e-commerce.
I remember those debates. I've got the scars on my back to prove them as well.
Within another 10 years, we could be looking at TikTok. We might not be, but we could look at it being the e-commerce channel. So I think retailers need to be aware. They don't have to adopt all of them, but they should have the agility and the flexibility within their operation to be able to at least try some of these new channels out and swap them out as needed.
I agree totally. What are the current technology frictions now stopping brands and retailers from adjusting to this new shopping expectation?
In our research, we found that anywhere between 70 to 90% of mid-size merchants, so anywhere between 5 to 100 million in terms of revenue, had very similar frustrations in terms of what their current technology is doing. And that was basically locking them into a system that didn't allow them to deploy shopping experiences and keep pace with customer expectations and sell more at the pace they'd like. There was great frustration around that. That for us was a real light bulb moment, because that for us is real technology friction that's stopping retailers from adapting quickly enough, just being locked into a system that doesn't allow you to integrate with new, better e-commerce technology. We're not just talking about necessarily selling channels. Selling channels probably are the major point of the report, but it's not just that. It could also be anything, really, from payment providers as well. We found that that's a real change. Consumers also wanted to pay in really different ways. And as a brand, you have to be able to keep meeting the service expectations that consumers want. And that's the real friction, the ability to not rapidly adjust.
And that almost sounds cultural in terms of if you don't have the right people on board in order to make those changes. It's similar to coronavirus happened. Some companies were able to quickly pivot their business model and pivot their infrastructure to be able to react and continue to support their customers and clients. Others failed miserably. It sounds like it's a similar narrative taking place in changing tastes and patterns in consumer trends. What kind of solution does an organization need to think about to remove that friction? Is it really just cultural or is it technological as well?
It's probably both. I think that there is a culturally organizations, and we know this from our own research and our own experiences. A lot of the technology that even some of the biggest brands use are wildly outdated. And some of the biggest high street brands use technology systems that mean that they're not agile at all in any way. And some of them got really caught out at the early to mid stages of the pandemic because they couldn't open up and sell on new channels. The issue is that there will be brands and probably more modern brands that are based on agile tech stacks. I'm thinking of like younger D2C brands, particularly, that will just be digitally native, will want to sell on some of these new channels, and people will flock to them. If you've got a great service, you're offering what consumers want, then you'll see that happening. Like Gymshark, that have grown massively just on being able to be much more consumer focused on the channels that they want to shop on. So the issue there is probably cultural. People, they want to stay with the technology they know. It's kind of the devil you know, even if it doesn't work completely. You've become accustomed to it. It's part of the operation. Coming back to that point, if you aren't able to keep meeting up with customer demand, you will continue to lose more and more of the pie until you eventually lose all of the pie.
If I was a concerned CEO, CIO, CTO of an online retail or high street retail, what steps should I consider to ensure a more successful holiday seasons this year, next year, going forward? What kind of things do I need to think about?
In terms of the short term, because we are really closely approaching the holiday season, there's still time to audit your customer base and understand where they want to be shopping this season and at least have a presence across these channels. You may not be able to enact direct buying across all of the channels, but you could use them for discovery and as a way of signposting to your commerce channels. That process of auditing your customer base is really helpful for long-term planning anyway. Then more longer term, there is an onus on retailers to constantly reinvent themselves and to be future-proof. What we are encouraging merchants to do is to make sure that they bake flexibility into every part of their business, from operational processes to all of the technology platforms that they use. Because if they do that, they have a huge amount to gain. The ability to get ahead on these channels as they grow and as younger consumers grow in purchasing power, there's a huge amount of opportunity there. You want to be a retailer that owns a platform or a selling channel that becomes popular. You want to be one of those early adopters of Amazon that allows you to get well ahead of your competitors. And there's ample opportunity to do that if you're using the right systems and technology.
How is Brightpearl helping retailers become more flexible and hyperscalable?
Brightpearl itself, we were born in that hyperscalable era. We do have many of the features of an ERP, but we make it super easy to burst into other areas. So we don't limit innovation. We support it. So we offer optionality, a host of rapid pre-built plug-and-play integrations, the ability to scale rapidly, but also a strong central nervous system, as most people want from a back office. that kind of single source of truth that has its own best in class features, whether that's automation or demand planning. But we know as Brightpearl what this era is, and this era is going to be defined by technology partners, by composable technology, by partners that work well together, that put the customer first, that put the retailer first. The retailer just needs to look at what their customer needs and work backwards from that and be able to go, first things first, flexibility and agility. Do these partners offer that? And do they work well with others? And that's the questions they need to ask.
Shoppertainment. You came up with that term, shoppertainment. Is that something you came or something you came across?
I think it must have been something I came across. I was looking for a nice phrase for it, and I've definitely heard it before. I think it's more of an American term, though, so we kind of borrowed that. I like it, though. I think it does lend itself as more of a consumable term for what this era is.
Where can people access this report?
So the Tis the Season report is available now. You can get it on the Brightpearl website. So if you go to www.brightpearl.com, you can access it straight from the homepage.
The report is actually a really interesting report in terms of how people are changing. I've got younger family members of mine. Just the way they interact and the way they consume is vastly different to me and my wife does it effectively.
I don't know what we expected. We expected some interesting data by age group, but I sort of expected millennials and Gen Z, because being a millennial myself, we'd have similar buying habits. But no, Gen Z's buying habits were entirely different to those of millennials. And that was really interesting and made me think.
What was the differences between Gen Z's and the millennials in their purchasing habits?
Well, I think it was more their keenness to both shop via these new channels, but also the breadth of selling channels. Millennials were keen to shop via alternative channels, but Facebook, Instagram, so more established platforms. They wanted to use the platforms they'd grown up with, if that makes sense. While Gen Z, we want to do in-game shopping. So I want to purchase via Fortnite or Twitch. I want to purchase via live stream because that's what I've been brought up on. Basically, YouTube influencers. A lot of this generation has grown up and they're used to that. They want to buy on TikTok because, again, it's a platform that growing up with WhatsApp, Snapchat, that just an entirely new group of apps and channels that are more native to them, while millennials, again, were more accustomed to maybe Pinterest, WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, the channels, again, that they've grown up with. It makes sense. It's just when you see the data, this actually is a very different generation to millennials. And I think Gen Z has occasionally been marketed as millennials 2.0. But I don't think that's the case at all. I think they're going to be much more disruptive in terms of their buying habits than millennials ever were.
Also, the challenge for businesses, for retailers, is keeping their finger on the pulse of those changes that's taking place amongst their customers and their prospective customers. It's going to be a forever ongoing challenge and task for them, which I guess what means the necessity for them to become as agile as possible to be able to respond.
Exactly that, because you can't predict what's going to be the hot new thing. Like, no one can. No one can predict 2 years out, will TikTok still be hot? Will there be another selling channel that comes out of nowhere? We just don't know. But what you can do is future-proof your system, so you can bake in as much agility within your operation as possible. You can adapt quicker and more effectively to those trends.
How do you actually bake in that agility into your systems?
I think that comes back to the hyperscalable era. What you need to do at this point is start looking at systems that work well together, that are scalable, that are flexible. And by flexible, I mean that they integrate really easily in terms of their connectivity, really quickly, and work very effectively with other technology partners and systems in your ecosystem. That's how you build a composable tech stack, and that's how you build agility and flexibility into your operation.
Thank you, Mark, for your discussing the report, your time, your insights, and your thoughts.
Thank you. Bye.